Welcome to the Talking About Podcast. I'm your host, TW. Listen, I know you have so many choices for your entertainment. So whoever you are and wherever you may be, thank you so much for spending a few minutes out of your day here with me. Real quick, if you're watching this on the YouTube, go ahead and just check in for me. Check in. Let me know where you're watching this from, where you're hearing this from. I want to know what kind of reach we're getting on this here pod. You know what I'm saying? I want to see how far my voice is reaching out here in these internet streets. So wherever you're from, you know, whether you Bill from Germany, Bob from West Hartford, you know what I mean? John from Brooklyn, wherever you at, go ahead and just drop it down here on the check-in, and I will give you a shout-out on next week's pod. I definitely want to see who is watching this pod and where you are checking it from, because I love y'all, you know what I'm saying? I love y'all. I do. And I want to show y'all some love. I want to spread that love back around, you know what I'm talking about? Real quick, on today's show, we are going to talk about Blood and Guts. This was the best AEW show of the year, hands down to me. I mean, you know, you might have your take, but to me, this is the best episode of Dynamite I've seen in a long, long time. We're going to talk about WrestleMania tickets being completely having lost their damn minds. And we are, of course, going to talk about this Carly Russell case. And because this is just madness. Okay, this is madness. I'm sure if you've been following this case, you've been following this news, it's just been it's been kind of comedy. But of course, you know, there's always some haters on the other side. So we're going to talk about this from a couple different angles. But our first story, our opening story, is of course Jey Uso and Roman Reigns met face to face for rules of engagement. They wanted to talk about what was going down. Now, look, I want to talk a little bit about Jey Uso getting his opportunity, okay? He got a chance last week on SmackDown, and I thought he knocked it out of the park. Right? He was there by himself. There was no Roman. And the crowd was behind him, right? The crowd was behind him. And that matters a lot, because when you're in the ring with Roman, of course they're going to cheer for you, because they're booing Roman, right? They're booing Roman. But the question is, when Roman's not there, do they still cheer for you? And they did. They did. So I thought Jey had a great showing last week on SmackDown by himself. Now, look, lots of smart people whose opinions I respect, have been trying to just twist themselves in knots, trying to imagine a scenario in which Jey Uso beats Roman Reigns. And I just want to say, stop it. Stop it. It's not happening.
Oh, hell
no. It's not happening. It's not happening. Look, man, Jey had his moment, okay? Pinning Roman Reigns in London at Money in the Bank, that was Jey's moment. That was a huge moment. That was the first person to pin Roman Reigns in 3 years. And that was huge. And it was dope that Roman let his cousin be the one to have that moment. And looking at it, right, like, I think what Jey will get out of this is, when it's all said and done, we'll look at Jey and we'll call him the Tribal Chief. As a matter of fact, his new merchandise, his new t-shirts, say the real chief, right? So that tells me that that's the end game of this story for Jey Uso. And the problem is, the reason why Jey is not going to win at SummerSlam is because they're not battling for the tribal chief, right? They're battling for the title. If they were battling just for the tribal chief, then I would think Jey had a legit shot, because, like I said, I think that's the end game of the story for Jey Uso. But because the title is on the line, Jey's not winning. Jey's not winning. I'm sorry. You can boo me all you want to, but Jey is not winning that title at SummerSlam. He'll have a great match. You know what I mean? I'm sure that Roman's not going to go in there and just squash him and stack him and pin him sideways like he did Daniel Bryan and Edge. But I mean, look, man, like it or not, that spot is being reserved. That spot is being groomed for Cody Rhodes. I have never seen a next in line guy in WWE get groomed for the top spot in the way that we're seeing Cody Rhodes get groomed for that top spot. I mean, this guy had a red carpet premiere to his Peacock documentary. First of all, how many people that's not the champion are getting a big deal made out of their documentary like this? And you know, of course, over time, WWE always had like these disc sets they would do, right? Where they would put out the CM Punk anthology and all this other stuff, right? So it's not new for a superstar to have the documentary treatment, but again, the Peacock show, the Peacock documentary crew have been following Cody Rhodes for over a year now. And we know because he tells us every time he gets in front of a microphone, like, oh, I wonder when this documentary is going to come out because these people have been following me for so long. He says it at all the press conferences, right? And I saw all the big news people who were at the debut, the premiere for his big documentary. He's getting all kinds of news coverage. And so, I mean, look, man, like the proof is in the pudding. Cody is next up. Like, I'm sorry. It is what it is. The throne is waiting for Cody, okay? That throne he smashed is waiting for him to come back and sit on it. It just, you know, that sounded kind of weird. I'm not going to lie. The throne, but he is the next in line for sure. Now, look, what's important for Jay, right? Because we're talking about Jey Uso here. What's important for Jay is the way he handles this situation, right? If Jey Uso handles this situation in the right way, this could lead to more opportunities for him to do big stuff as a singles act going down the line, right? If he gets more and more appearances where the crowd is really behind him, really cheering for him, you know, chanting, Uso. If that still happens for him when Roman is not around, then I think you'll see Jey get some shots to maybe have some singles titles on his own. But as of right now, you know, it's just not in the cards, right? Because those titles are spoken for. You know, it is what it is. So Jay had his rules of engagement with the tribal chief. And, you know, Roman was trying to big dog Jay the whole time. He kept calling him Little Jay throughout the whole thing. He kept calling him Little Jay. He said, Little Jay, you still want to do this? Jay was like, you called the shot. Now I got to get you. Then Roman said, you don't get it. You're just a soldier. You're just a pawn in this game. So then Roman signed the contract and he slid it over to Jay. Jay looked at the contract and then he tore the contract up and he said, they don't need the contract because the contract is in the blood. He said, this is tribal combat now. And Roman looked at Jay and he's like, do the elders know about this? Jay said, it was their idea. So if the elders thought that there needed to be tribal combat, that tells me that within this, you know, mythical tribe that we never get to see, these elders who we always hear about but never get to hear from, there is some doubt about Roman's status as the tribal chief. All right, there's something we might need to look into. So Jay tells him that it was the elders' idea. And in tribal combat, anything goes. So Roman stands up and he puts the title on the table and he says, it's nothing to me. It's nothing. And then Jay says, I said it's tribal combat. And when he said that, then Roman, you know, real slowly took off the tribal chief leg. What do they call it? I think it's a fala. That's what it's called. It's a certain kind of necklace made from a certain kind of fruit. A ula fala. So Roman was slowly taking off the ula fala, and then he lays it on top of the title. All right. And so then him and Jay stand up. They walk in front of the table. They give each other kind of a dap, put their hands on each other's shoulders, and they put their foreheads together, you know, like real ceremonial. And they just kind of look at each other. And Roman just has this look on his face like, man, I kind of can't believe I'm going through this. As almost as if to say, for even as bad as he has done his cousin over the course of these past 3 years, he still can't believe what he's going to have to do to him in this tribal court. In this tribal combat. And so this is something else, man. Like, Roman is really taking it to another level with his emotions, just expressing how important it is that they're actually taking it to this level. So the way Roman was selling this, right, was just really reinforcing that this is a big deal, that this is not just another match. This is not just You know, so this is not just anything. Like, this is a big deal. Tribal combat is nothing. Jay tried to describe as they were sitting there, you know, tribal combat means anything goes. It means I can hit you with a stick. I can put you through a table. I can flip, do this, do, do, do. You know, so pretty much what he was telling us, the audience, is that it's a hardcore match, right? It's a hardcore match. You know, anything goes, any type of rules, whatever, 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 which I always think is funny, right? Because in wrestling, why would you invite the bad guy to a no rules match? That's not very. That's not very smart. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Because you're gonna look back when it's all said and done. You're gonna be like, "Damn, I almost had him. I almost had him till that unforeseen breaking of the rules happened, and now I lost." It's like good guys just set themselves up for failure. So, whatever. He did it to himself. But here's the deal. Sorry, I got a little. Ugh. You know, you have like that sneeze that kind of sits like in the back of your nose, but like you're gonna cough it, but it just doesn't really move. Ah, that's the worst. Sorry. Anyway, put it in reverse here. So Roman takes off the Ulafala, lays it down, and then him and Jay, they do the embrace. And as Roman goes to leave the ring, Solo flips the table and he grabs Jay, going to give him the spike. But as he goes to give Jay the spike, Roman grabs Solo's arm to stop him from giving him the spike. And as Solo is looking back at Roman, Jay drops Solo with the super kick. And that was a moment. That was a moment. Because we've been seeing all these little tiny seeds being planted of distrust between Solo and Roman, right? Solo's the last soldier that Roman has left. And when we see the little things like Roman sitting in the locker room and he's kind of staring at the Ulafala, you know, twirling it in his hands. And then he looks over and he sees Solo staring at the Ulafala too. And then when Solo sees Roman noticing him staring at the Ulafala, he doesn't look away. He doesn't like, you know, do like your dog and like run away when the dog notices that you're looking at their food. Like, no, Solo is still looking at it. And then he kind of slowly, you know, looks back at Roman and is like, yeah, you know. But they are given every hint in the world that Solo is going to turn on Roman. And then with Roman holding Solo's arm as Jay super kicked him, that just driving the wedge even deeper between Solo and Roman. So we're getting all these seeds planted, right, for what's gonna happen, right? I mean, listen, I don't care. You can plant all the seeds. You can plant a tree. You can do anything you want to. I will not believe that Jay is going to beat Roman until I see it. I just am not going to believe it. I can't see it, man. I can't see it. Like I said, they've done everything they can to tell us that Cody Rhodes is up next. Cody Rhodes is in line. Cody Rhodes is the next man waiting. And if that's the case, then Cody can't be the second one to beat Roman for the championship. Right? That's not his grand finish the story thing, right? You're doing all this for Cody Rhodes. If they weren't doing everything in the world to tell us that Cody Rhodes is the next special guy, then I would believe more that Jay had a chance to win the title at SummerSlam and kind of kick Roman out of the bloodline and assume the leadership as the tribal chief. I would actually believe it. But I just don't see it, man. I just don't see it because they're not given they seem to have too much invested in Cody's story. Cody needs to finish the story. And so because of that, I just cannot believe that Jay is going to take these titles from Roman. Now, if this match was just for the Ulafala, just for the tribal chiefship, the head of the bloodline, if it was just for that, then I would think Jay had a great chance to win. I would think Jay had all the momentum. You know, you see the seeds being planted of Solo potentially turning on Roman. I would think Jay had a shot here. But because I believe that title is not coming off Roman until WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia, I think this is just kind of the end of the road for Jay. I'm sorry, Jay. I think SummerSlam is going to be a dead end for you, brother. I think SummerSlam is not going to end the way you want it to. But I do think there's going to be some twists and turns and some wrinkles in the story. Like, you got to think about it like this. We got a long way to go until next April, right? We still got Survivor Series. We still got Royal Rumble all the way to get to WrestleMania. So a lot has to happen between now and then. I don't believe that this Bloodline story is even close to being over, right? I don't think this is even close to being over. So, you know, where does this go? Who knows, right? Who knows? But you know what? I sure am having fun watching. And that's, I think that's all that counts. You know what I'm saying? Listen, if you like what we're doing here, please make sure that you like this video, okay? If you listen to this on this podcast, make sure you hit the like, drop a rating on there, drop a comment down below. Let me know what you think about what we're talking about here, and make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel so that you get notified each and every time I drop some brand new fire content on this page. Holla at your boy. AEW dropped their blood and guts all over the place on last Wednesday, and it was damn disgusting. Yes, it was disgusting, but you know what? I enjoyed it. I'm not gonna lie. This was the best episode of AEW Dynamite I have seen in a very long time. Even when I turned the show on, just seeing the two rings made it feel like a big deal. It made it feel like a special event. It felt fun. And another thing that they really hit the jackpot on here is they seem to put all their best stuff forward on this one episode, right? So I like the way that the show started with Jack Perry burying his Jungle Boy character. I always thought that character was stupid. I always was not a fan of the whole Jungle Boy thing. It was too gimmicky. It was too indie. I'm like, you're this, you know, whatever. It was kind of like a joke to me, right? So to start the show with him burying the Jungle Boy character and then getting in the limo, so now I guess he's Hollywood Jack Perry, right? And then to have him, you know, have a good match against Hook, another guy who AEW has invested a lot of time in, right? AEW has a lot of, you know, time equity put into the building up of the Hook character. And even though he has that FTW championship, which is, you know, who can even say if what belts in AEW are worth anything? Because they got like every damn belt that has ever existed in the world of wrestling has been in, you know, other than a WWE title, like every title in the history of wrestling has been defended on AEW programming. So like, who's to say that the FTW belt matters any less than the TNT title? I'm sorry. When there's so many titles, listen, if everybody has a title, nobody has a title. I'm sorry, that's just the way that goes. Having all these belts, it dilutes the importance of all the belts. So again, who am I to say that the FTW title is meaningless when, if you ask me, the TNT title is meaningless, right? Like, what has that TNT title done? You know, Christian's carrying it around, wearing it, Jungle, who's this guy? Luchasaurus. Luchasaurus is the actual champion, but Christian Cage is carrying the belt around. I mean, like, come on now, that title. So anyway, Jack Perry, he beat Hook for the FTW title. And this was actually meaningful. This was Hook's first loss, and it was a part of Jack Perry's transformation story. So that was actually dope. I gotta give these guys credit. Like, to me, that was a great use of all the equity you put into Hook and for all the equity that you put into Jack Perry. And again, this transformation, right, from Jungle Boy to Jack Perry, like, this solidified it. And so that was dope. I got to give these guys credit. That was actually really dope. The next thing they did was they did MJF and Adam Cole. And I'm not a huge fan of MJF. I'm not a huge fan of Adam Cole. But both of these dudes together, this is working. You got to give these guys credit. MJF and Adam Cole are kind of bringing out the best in each other. You know, they're doing silly stuff, right? The dance off, the hokey tag team stuff, double clothesline. Then, you know, they do the face off with FTR. Like, It's stupid, but it's fun and it's working, right? This is the best thing they could possibly be doing with either of these characters. So, you know, I just got to give these guys credit because look, you know, as much as AEW wants to be doing its own thing, and by the way, you know, I believe AEW's had some new people helping out creatively recently, and it's probably not a coincidence that they're getting some outside help, and now they're doing stuff that's a little bit more fun, a little bit more entertaining, and this is more, you know, it's very WWE-esque, but that's not a bad thing. This was good stuff, so give these guys credit for that. Blood and Guts. The Blood and Guts delivered on, yo, it was called Blood and Guts, and damn it, they gave us Blood and Guts. I mean, yo, Jon Moxley is a crazy man, okay? This dude came in the match stabbing people with a fork. What? He came in the match stabbing people with a fork. As soon as he came in, my first thought was like, oh my God, I'm glad I put my kids to bed because there's no way I'm going to let them watch this product anytime soon. It's just not like I'm not having my children be like, daddy, why did that man stab that other man with a fork? Like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not answering the questions. I'm not trying to explain it. Like, I'm not, you know, no, Jon Moxley, no, you're a crazy person. And I'm not going to lie, I enjoy your craziness. Like, I mean, it's crazy to me, but it's also like I ain't going to do it, right? Like, I ain't going to do it. I'm not letting nobody stab me in the head with a fork. You stab me in the head with a fork, one of us going to the hospital for real. Probably both of us, because after I send you to the hospital, whoever this person is that hypothetically stabbed me with a fork, I'm going to go to the hospital to get checked for all types of, you know, hepatitis, because that's just highly unsanitary, and I'm not really into other people's bodily fluids in that way. So we would all be going to the hospital, but the way that Jon Moxley just wants to bleed so much, he wants everybody around him to bleed. Like, he wants to be in the locker room covered in other people's blood. And if he's not in the locker room covered in his opponent's blood, then that's just not a good night for him. It's gross. But you know what? Better you than me, okay? That bed of nails was, oh God. Oh my God. Yo, the bed of nails was OD, okay? But you know what? This is AEW's brand and they're embracing it. So I give them credit. Be who you are, okay? Be who you are, whoever you are. If you gotta, listen, if DC movies gotta go all blood and guts and extra cursing to try to compete with Marvel, then damn it, do what you gotta do, okay? I watched John Cena in The Peacemaker, and I think they blew up like a giant, it was like a turd, or like, it was something really gross. But if that's what you gotta do to compete with the MCU, then damn it, do your thing. AEW, if this is what you got to do to compete with Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, then do your thing. Be you. Now, I got to say, I like how they finished this match. I like the way the BCC lost this match in a way that sets up for storytelling going forward. So if you saw with Pac, there was a miscommunication between him and Claudio. They kind of ran into each other, and then Pac got mad and he pushed Claudio. You know, Claudio tried to make up for it, but Pac just kind of flipped him off and walked away. Then Don Callis, the ultimate scumbag, came and pulled a Japanese buddy. I can't remember his name. Gosh, I can't. Takeshka. Somebody put a phonetic pronunciation in the comments. But Don Callis went and pulled him out. And so this sets up for storytelling going forward, right? Like, the BCC got left hanging. Jon Moxley was handcuffed to the bottom rope. He was just kind of just sitting there, you know, like a sad puppy with blood running down his face, watching Wheeler have to tap out. And they were all just kind of left. And I think I read that the Elite shook hands with the BCC afterwards. So could this be the end of that story between the Elite and the BCC? Lord knows it's been going on long enough. So I wouldn't be mad if they moved on from this. But I just want to give AEW credit because this was good storytelling. This whole show, top to bottom, this Dynamite was good. And I know that I point out the flaws in AEW a lot, But guess what? When AEW tells a story that is for me, for the fan watching right now, and not for somebody who is trying to relive something that happened 14 years ago, they can have a good product. They can have a good product. So give it up for AEW for showing some signs that they're finally moving forward with their product. Good for them. If you like what we're doing here, please show some love, show some love, show some love. Make sure you like this video, or you like the if you are listening to this on YouTube or on a podcast subscription, make sure you give me a 5-star rating. Gosh, I can't think right now. I can't even talk. You know what to do. Like, comment, rate, and subscribe. Help your boy out in these algorithmable streets, okay? We trying to keep it moving. We trying to live. We trying to be have fun. And we trying to be productive. Something that is not so much fun was this Carly Russell story. Oh, my God. So this Carly Russell story was a lot, okay? It was a lot. There ain't no two ways about it. And for those of y'all who haven't been following the story, I'm going to let the homie Van Lathan catch y'all up. This is him on the Higher Learning podcast with Rachel Lindsay. And he's giving a recap of the timeline of events of this case.
July 11th, 7:30 a.m., 2 days before she disappeared, she was at her job. She searched the term, do you have to pay for an Amber Alert? At 1:30 a.m. on the day of her disappearance, she searched the term, how to take money from register without getting caught, Reddit.
Oh, my God.
At 2:30 a.m. that same day, the term Birmingham bus station was searched. Then at 2:35, a search for a one-way ticket from Birmingham to Nashville was conducted. 12:10 p.m. later on, she did a search for the movie Taken. Now, she left the Woodhouse Spa at the Summit where she worked at 8:20. Surveillance showed that Russell concealed a dark-colored bathrobe, a roll of toilet paper, and other items belonging to the business prior to her departure. She ordered food, a restaurant. Then she talked to her mom a little bit. She left. She stopped along US 280, bought some granola bars, some Cheez-Its, and a drink. To lie! She remained in the parking lot till around 9:21. She drove to I-459. 9:34 p.m., Hoover 911 received a call from Russell stating that she had seen a white male child about 3 to 4 years old walking along I-459.
This is where it gets interesting.
She got out of her vehicle to check on the child. A man came out of the trees, mumbled that he was checking on the baby. Okay. That man picked her up and she screamed. He then made her go over a fence. He then forced her into a car. The next thing she remembers is being in the trailer of an 18-wheeler. She said the man was male with a female. However, she never saw the female, only heard the voice. Said the man was white with orange hair and a bald spot. Then July 14, people search. July 15th, the family received a call saying that she was at the Red Roof Inn in Vestavia Hills. Russell later told Fox that that call was a hoax. Hours later, Hoover 911 received a call from Carly's residence saying that she had returned home on foot. There's something else that's really interesting. On the 16th, she went for evaluation. There's something else that's really interesting here. Okay, so the police in this situation talked about all of the search terms that Carly Russell had. Taken, how you pay for an Amber Alert. But there are other things that she searched that they refused to divulge.
Mm. Right.
Things that they say are material to this entire story.
All right. So shout out to Van Lathan. Shout out to Van Lathan. Shout out to Rachel Lindsay. The Higher Learning Podcast is an excellent podcast. If you guys get a chance, please like, write, rate, comment, and subscribe to their YouTube channel because they have great, fun conversations. I really enjoyed watching Van roast Emmanuel Acho because he, goddammit, deserved it. But back to this case. All right. So look, this Carly Russell story was everywhere and everybody had jokes, you know, people, you know, talking about how she found, they found her wig on the side of the highway. Later in that same podcast, Van basically said she was really just out to get some Cheez-Its and some D and she, you know, just end up in a wacky situation. Like, look, man, she obviously had some plans and ideas. You know, she wanted to fake a kidnapping. And see, it's weird because she thinks she thought it out, but she didn't actually think it out. You know what I'm saying? She thinks she thought it out, but she didn't actually think it out. Like, she Googled all the terms. She tried to do research, right? That's probably like the funny thing about this is like she tried to do research. She thought she had this figured out. She thought she was going to get, I don't know what she thought. Like, did she think she was just going to disappear off the face of the map? And you know what? The answer to that is probably yes. She probably did think she was going to disappear off the face of the map. You know why she probably thought she was going to disappear off the face of the map? Because black women go missing each and every day and don't nobody be looking for their ass. Oh, yes, I had to go there. That's right. Given any opportunity, I will remind y'all of my blackness and where my allegiances and biases lie. And that's really where I'm at with this story because, look, yes, there's always jokes to be made about people trying to commit criminal acts and failing miserably and looking horribly dumb for trying to do something that is way above their pay grade in the criminal enterprise org chart, okay? But in spite of all of these jokes that we are here for, there's some realness that's going on. A big reason why she thought she could just do something so stupid and get away with it is because people abduct black women all the time and it never makes national news. Nobody's ever out here looking for, you know, all these black women that go missing and all you got to do is Google missing black woman, missing black girl, and you will see so many results come up because there are so many cases of it that happens and it's just not the same thing, right? Like, When white women go missing, they are looked for. They become national news stories. Like, it is big time news, but it just doesn't happen the same way for black women. So yes, she thought she could pull this off. She thought she could pull this off, and she was wrong. She was wrong. But here's the other thing too. The other part of this is there's people who are saying, well, now we're not going to believe black women in the future when, you know, the next one say something happened to her, she got abducted, she got missing. Nah. Y'all already wasn't believing black women. It's not because of this. If you wasn't believing black women before, this is not going to make the difference on whether you believe a black woman when she say something happened to her in the future. So please, don't blame that on Carly Russell. Come with the jokes, okay? Again, she had a stupid plan. She apparently didn't realize that her search history is public knowledge or easily searchable, discoverable, right? Apparently she did not realize these things. By the way, everybody listen to this, everybody under the sound of my voice. Yes, listen, your search history is all very available. Even if you delete it, if you want to search something freaky or nasty or untoward, it's still out there, okay? It's still out there. So if you decide you want to do something horrible and devious, just know when you search for it, if whatever you do makes the news, if it's something that's going to get the police involved, they're going to look up your search history. They are going to look up your search history. So just so you know, right? Learn from Carly's mistakes, okay? Learn from Carly's mistakes. But listen, The biggest takeaway here, right, is yes, laugh at stupid people. Laugh at people who do stupid things and fail miserably. Yes, laugh at them. They deserve to be laughed at. But also, the next time you hear about a black woman going missing, still give a damn. Still give a damn. Okay? Still search for her. Still blow it up. Because for every fake hoax, Cheez-Its, you know, fake kidnapping, orange-haired, bald spot in the middle story, for every one of those, there's 20 real people who are getting abducted and nobody is giving a damn. So don't use this story as an excuse to turn a blind eye to something that is very real and very much going on and could very much use our attention, because this story got blown up by people actually just caring, right? People started circulating it on social media, and that should show you all the power that exists among us on social media. If we can, you know, make a story get big, like, don't feel bad because you believed what she was talking about, right? Same thing, they was comparing her to Jussie Smollett, right? Jussie Smollett. They were comparing them and, you know, just like as an example of somebody who pulled a hoax, right? Again, got caught, got, you know, made a fool of, you know, all of that. But you know what? In that situation, if that call came in again, you should still do the same thing. You should still investigate it. And yes, if somebody lies, then you know, you put them through whatever process of the law they deserve to go through for lying. But that doesn't mean that you turn a blind eye to the next person who this happens to. Because again, for every hoax, there's 10 people that it's happening to for real. So, you know what I'm saying? Let's look out for each other. You know what I'm saying? Let's look out for each other. Let's be good people. All right. Listen, if you like what we're doing here, if you like this content, please like this video. Please comment, drop a comment down below. Let me know how much you like it, what you like, what you don't, what you agree with, what you disagree with. And make sure you subscribe to the channel and make sure you hit that notification bell so you get notified each and every time I drop some brand new fire content on this channel. All right, listen. So, I saw this tweet the other day from my man, Andrew Bidala, who's, you know, a good follow on Twitter. If you guys are out there in the Twitter space, he does a YouTube show where he takes wrestling calls and with JD from NY, who's a very popular wrestling commentator. He has a lot of information about business related wrestling conversations and, sports betting, all types of fun stuff. Andrew's a good follow. You can follow him at Andrew Bidala. So he dropped this tweet the other day and it just really caught my eye. So I wanted to talk about this. So the tweet says, more hashtag WrestleMania packages are being made available today. Prices range from $800 upper level per ticket to $30,000 plus. Oh, $30,000 plus for the front row. The suite and front row ticket packages have already sold out. Those are the top two price points from On Location and WWE. WWE has also added, and then there's a little flyer for the priority pass from On Location. Attend an exclusive pre-WrestleMania 40 party with The Undertaker. Okay, that's included in the gold, champion, and elite packages. Shout out to Andrew for the information. And that's crazy because I responded to that tweet. I said, man, 30K for wrestling tickets is crazy. It's crazy. And he, you know, he agreed. But you know what? To his point, it was sold out. It's sold out. So listen, I love wrestling. Okay. I love wrestling. The majority of my podcast, my content is about wrestling. I've been watching wrestling ever since I was a kid growing up in rural North Carolina. Okay. I grew up in the NWA territories. And like, I just, you know, wrestling has always just been, you know, something I've been a big fan of. You know, I love the art of it, the performance of it. You know, it's fun. I have little kids now. I get my kids into it. It's just a fun thing to watch. So I'm not hating, okay? I'm not hating. This is America, and the freedom to gouge customers for your product, okay, is what our politicians fight for every day, okay? Give it up for America. This is what we do here. This is what we do, all right? So good for them, right? And by the way, those prices are on par with major sporting events. All you got to do is go into your Google machine, go into your search bar on Google. I'm sorry, not even on Google, on Twitter or anything, right? And search NBA Finals ticket, and you'll see tweets for what it costs to sit courtside at whatever, you know, arenas are hosting the NBA Finals. Google Super Bowl ticket, and you'll see, you know, stories about what it costs to sit at the Super Bowl, okay? Google ticket to the NCAA Final Four, and you'll see stories. So WWE is not, they're not doing anything that other major sporting events are doing. They're not doing anything that's unique in that way. I paid a good amount of money for my recent trip to WrestleMania 39 in California. It was, man, it was a good time. Shout out to California. WrestleMania went Hollywood for sure. but it was a good time. But you know what? I got to give them their credit because it was worth it. It was an amazing experience. Like, yes, I spent too much money, but yes, it was an amazing experience. Both days of the show, okay? The time I got to spend with my wife, you know, riding bikes down the boardwalk, you know, going to see Venice Beach, you know, getting to meet up with some of my boys. That was a good time. You know, again, both days of the show. By the time we got to the main event on Sunday night, right, the Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes matchup, like, it felt like being inside of a movie. It was phenomenal. I got to give them credit. It was a absolutely one-of-a-kind experience that, I'm not going to lie, it was worth the money. To me, it was worth the money. But here's the thing. I wouldn't go much higher than that. What I paid for the tickets that I had, which were, my tickets were, like, right off the risers on the hard camera side, right? So, like, facing the hard camera, but, like, right above, like, the riser section. Great seats. What I paid for those seats would have probably gotten me front row in Orlando a couple of years ago, or close to it. And for me, going on this trip was kind of like the culmination of something I had been waiting for a long time. I went to the WrestleMania in Orlando with a bunch of my boys, and I love California. I live in Connecticut. I grew up in North Carolina. Every time I've been to California, I'm like, oh man, I love this place. I see how people, you know, visit here and never want to leave. Like, it's just, you know, it's amazing. So, like, any opportunity to go to California, I'm always with it. Well, LA, let me just say LA. I don't know about all California. But any opportunity to go out to LA, I'm with it, right? So I had been wanting to go to this WrestleMania for a very long time. And that's kind of what pushed me over to, you know, splurge on these tickets. But I just don't see me doing that again. I mean, you know, who knows what, you know, what kind of money I'll be making in the future, where that just might not seem like a thing to me. But right now, I just can't see me spending that kind of money to go again, right? Like, this was a big deal, this trip, something I had waited for a very long time. And so I just wanted to do it. I had been waiting for years to go to this LA WrestleMania, and so I did it. But the problem is that I'm just not looking forward to the trickle-down effect this is going to have across the board on WWE shows. I'm not looking forward to the way this is going to raise prices to go to Raw when it comes to my town, to go to SmackDown when it comes to my town, or even to a live event. Like, I've been waiting to go to a live event with my kids for a really long time because I really want them to have that experience of, like, sitting front row at a live event, getting the high fives of wrestlers and all of that stuff. But now that they're charging so much for WrestleMania, they're going to charge even more for Raws. They're going to charge even more for live events. So by the time that they do come to Bridgeport, Connecticut, or Hartford, Connecticut, for a house show on a random Saturday, they're going to be charging what I paid to go see Money in the Bank at the Hartford Coliseum in 2019, right? Like, this is just one of them things that it affects the regular working fans disproportionately. Because if you're the type of person who could, if you could have afforded a $5,000 front row seat, you could probably afford a $30,000 front row seat. Because just once you're spending that kind of money, like, it just doesn't affect you. The problem is that it affects the regular Joe fan, right? The regular Joe fan, who, by the way, are the people who have been filling these arenas for years that have allowed WWE to prop itself up to sponsors and become the blue chip brand that it is today. So I get it. This is America. And, you know, whatever you do, don't stop the flow of the dollar. But it just feels like the regular fan gets left in the dust with some of these decisions that get made. But hey, what you gonna do? You know, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? I've gone to three WrestleManias. They've been, you know, a lot of fun. I kind of had a bucket list thing where I wanted to go to a Royal Rumble because it's one of my favorite events and I really wanted to go see one. But, you know, listen, the way this is looking, who knows if that will or won't happen. You know, maybe one day. But I got to say, it's just a little bit of a bummer. It's a little bit of a bummer. But, you know, good for WWE. You know, make your money. You just sold to Endeavor. And I'm sure they just want to get that stock price up as much as possible. They want to show that they had record profits every year. So they'll charge all they can for tickets. And they'll probably still release a bunch of talent this upcoming spring. So shout out to WWE. It's a great time to be a fan. All right, beautiful people. That's all we got for today. Sorry to end on such a somber note, but as you know, like it's the ticket thing, you know, that's just how I feel. That's all we got for today, man. Listen, make sure that you like, comment, rate, and subscribe on the video if you're watching this on YouTube. Hit that notification bell so you get notified each and every time I drop some brand new fire content on this page. If you are listening to this on any podcast app, please leave me a 5-star rating, drop a comment, and tell everybody how dope you think this show is. And if you really want to help the show, the best thing you could do is tell a friend to tell a friend. Let's bring more people into the conversation. The show should be in your YouTube feed, in your podcast feed, each and every week, probably, I don't know. Probably around Sunday-ish. Probably, I'm going to try to get this out to you every week on Sundays. I'm still striving for consistency, people. Bear with me. God is working on me, okay? God is working on me with being consistent and getting this podcast to you. But as long as you like the content, if you like it, I love it. I'm here for it. And, yeah. So, like I said, until next time, I'm TW. Peace out.